Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We devoted the majority of the hour to my conversation with Patty Poppe, CEO of PG&E. Poppe took over the largest utility in the country last year, inheriting decades of systemic failures, as well as responding to the Dixie Fire sparked by PG&E equipment and winter outages across the Sierra foothills. We're going to close by getting more context about the progress PG&E has made under Poppe's leadership and the challenges that remain. Catherine Blunt covers renewable energy and utilities for the Wall Street Journal and is the author of the new book, California Burning, The Fall of PG&E and What It Means for America's Power Grid, which will be released tomorrow. What progress have you seen with PG&E since January of 2021 when Patty Poppe became CEO?
Sure. So this is a company that has never been more aware of the risks throughout its system. And I think everyone from Patty on down is working very hard to try to address them. A few months after Patty arrived in the summer of 2021, she announced a very bold plan to underground 10,000 miles of distribution wire, which would do a lot to change the risk profile of the service territory. But there are certainly a lot of practical challenges the company has to contend with there. But if they can pull it off, it would be certainly be a game changer.
What are the biggest challenges that they have to contend with when it comes to undergrounding? Because this is a several-year endeavor.
It is a several-year endeavor. It's expensive, primarily. They're working to get the costs down, but it remains more expensive to retrofit the overhead system in this way than other ways of managing risk. That being said, it is a very effective way to reduce fire risk, certainly, because underground wires cannot start fires, but rates are very high, and they've been high for a long time, and they're going up for other reasons. And so the company has to manage how it will pass those costs on to customers, when and to what degree. Mm.
When it comes to ratepayers, there's a bill on the governor's desk, and I talked to Patty Poppe about this, that would prohibit utility companies from offsetting criminal and civil settlements on ratepayers, instead taking, you know, taking from the profits as well as from shareholders. I mean, when I asked Poppe this, she said that there are already rules in place to protect customers from bearing the brunt of these incidents. Is that the case?
That's true. Over the last several, so in California, it's worth noting, utilities are liable for the damages resulting from fires at their equipment starts, regardless of whether they're negligent. There's been a lot of legislative activity over the years that makes it so that they cannot recoup those liability costs by raising rates. And this is kind of, you know, taking that a step forward by saying any sort of settlement that you reach in any sort of criminal or civil matter, you can't recoup that cost either. This has been there's been a real flurry of legislative activity over the last 5 years or so in this regard. So it's certainly been a subject of intense debate.
There's also been an argument, especially in recent years, if PG&E is too big. Poppe said that she actually broke the company into five regions to create more of a hometown utility feel. Is that enough?
I think it's smart. The service territory spans 70,000 square miles. It's a size about, it's roughly the size of New England. And so I think to have a more regional focus in which you can have managers who are, you know, more familiar with the particular territory that they're in charge with managing, I think that that's smart. But to your question, is it enough? This is a service territory that's, I mean, the risk profile is constantly changing. The climate is changing. The state's seen the most severe drought in 1,000 years. You know, it's a lot to manage, but doing so at a more regional level is certainly helpful.
Given that the risk profile is constantly changing, in response to wildfires, Poppe had said that 90% of the risk has been reduced in their system and that PG&E ignitions are down like some 73% year to date, acres per ignition as well. And then she also touted the public safety power shutoff scaling down significantly from, you know, originally 2 million customers back in 2019 to like just a sliver, 80,000 customers in 2021. Is that an accurate assessment given that the risk is constantly changing?
Yeah, well, the one of the reasons why the risk has fallen in the last year or so is because they're utilizing certain settings on power lines in which if something hits a live wire, it immediately shuts off. So there's less of a risk of ignition, but that means customers are experiencing more frequent power outages. So that's not necessarily a sustainable way to address this long term. And I think it's something that they're doing in the interim here as they work on undergrounding and other things. So, you know, the ignition rate is down, but, you know, it's resulting in inconveniences for customers. As a result, as it comes to public safety power shutoffs, they've done more to install technology that allows for a more surgical approach to this. And also using the settings I was just referring to reduces the need for the PSPS. But again, this is all stuff that's it's kind of short-term fixes while they're working on the long-term. We're addressing the risk long term.
Right. You were also very familiar with Flex Alerts. We just went through some recently. And what Patty was talking about, she's making an investment bidirectional charging initiative with the automotive industry, specifically General Motors and Ford. And she calls this a first in the world initiative to deploy the technology commercially. And I guess the claim that it would eliminate Flex Alerts, is that the case? Can you help us unpack further what bidirectional charging could accomplish and the potential challenges it could face?
Yeah. So this idea of bidirectional charging, the primary focus here is managing how and when customers utilize electricity. So if you've got a period of high demand, you have a car battery, you have the possibility of delivering power back to the grid if you don't need it at that particular moment. And that could help increase supply at a time in which things are tight, like we see when there's a Flex Alert, right? So that could be helpful. I don't think it eliminates the need for Flex Alerts. The state of California has tight power supplies in general, and I think that it's going to be a long time before those are fully eliminated. But load management is something that all the utilities need to be focused on, and it can certainly help to reduce the acute nature of the problem. But no, it doesn't eliminate the need for Flex Alerts in the near term.
Overall, given that PG&E has been connected to wildfires, you know, going back to 2017, over 100 lives have been claimed. Are we turning a corner now with this new CEO? Because it has been kind of a revolving door, at least in the last 5 years, of CEOs and interim CEOs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, all this remains to be seen. But she has said that she's committed to staying for as long as it takes to really get to turn the corner on the problem. It's a really overwhelming issue. It's a huge challenge, and I frankly admire her for taking it on. I think that a lot of the moves the company has made within the last year are the right ones, but it's going to take many years really to execute on a lot of these strategies, and so it remains to be seen what happens in the interim, and it remains to be seen if she stays that long, but she has said she will.
Finally, Catherine, your book, California Burning, the Fall of PG&E and What It Means for America's Power Grid, actually is released tomorrow. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it draws upon a substantial amount of reporting that I did for the Wall Street Journal alongside two colleagues. But it takes a really close look at the last 20 years and what those there's been a lot of internal mismanagement within this company over the last 20 years. There's no doubt about that. But there's also been a number of different regulatory and political pressures that have influenced why the company finds itself in these really challenging circumstances. And so I really try to unpack the question of why did things get this way and where are we going next?
Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you, Vicky. Thank you for having me.
And that is Catherine Blunt, who covers renewable energy and utilities for The Wall Street Journal and author of the new book, California Burning, The Fall of PG&E and What It Means for America's Power Grid. That book will be released tomorrow. That's it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Antonio Munez. Joe Barr is Capradio's chief content officer. And I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. Have a great day.